And now, O Lord, may the words of our mouths and the meditations of all of our hearts be found acceptable in your sight. For you are our rock, our strength, and our redeemer. If through the words of this human being we do not hear your voice, O God, then we ask you to speak to each of us here in the quietness of the heart. Amen. We are a little over halfway through the Lenten season, and during the season we have been leaning on the image of an anchor as a model for getting back to the basics of our faith. Just as an anchor holds a vessel in place, so the basics of our faith hold us in place as disciples of Jesus Christ. They remind us of just the essentials to keep us grounded in a world full of storms, in a world full of hurt, in a world that will try to sway us from one belief to the other. And the good tidings of great joy that I bring to you today is that this is not a message about death. This is not a message about sin. Those were the first two letters that we talked about in this series. And last week, we started moving into the good news that we can be born again. And as a people who are born again, then we are free to worship God and to be in relationship with God. And today, in talking about holy worship, which is the title of the sermon, this is really more like the preview to a movie than the actual film itself. A lot of times when we go to the theater, like our young friends did who went to see Beauty and the Beast, there are previews before the main show. And the purpose of those previews is to say, this is what's coming up later. Well, later this year, we are going to be talking a lot about worship. We're going to have a whole series about what worship is, why it matters, and how we are all part of the worshiping experience when we come together, not just in the sanctuary, but as we go forth to worship throughout God's beautiful world. And so today is just kind of that preview. It's that basic, that anchor of what it means to be, what it means to worship. And the woman at the well whom Jesus encounters in Samaria and the dialogue that follows with them is what is the is a great foundation of what worship is. Don Moen is a singer and songwriter, a worship leader who especially did a lot of writing of praise and worship songs in the 1980s and 90s. And he recorded on a live worship album once this statement that has stuck with me over the years about worship. He says this: worship is not a monologue. Worship is more than a monologue where we say, God, we bless you. God, we love you. God, we thank you. It's more than just us singing to God and telling God what we think and what we need. Worship is also pausing to hear God say, I love you too. Worship is not just what we say to God. Worship is what God says to us through the scriptures, through the music, through one another, through the work that we do as the body of Christ in this world. And I think it's so neat that Jesus, last week and this week in our gospel lessons, at the heart of the gospel lessons these past 2 weeks, has been Jesus in conversation with people. Worship is indeed a conversation between God and the people that he created and loves dearly. And worship is something that takes place when the movement of the Spirit is among us. Last week, Jesus told Nicodemus that you cannot see where the wind begins and where it goes, and so it is with the Spirit of God. Those words, Spirit and wind, are actually the same in the Greek language. And we are reminded that when we worship, it's not about what we've done or who we are. It's about who God is, how God is working, and how we dialogue with God to move into what he is doing in the world. In today's passage, we find Jesus not in a sanctuary, not in a temple, not in any kind of religious center. No, he has gone to a place where he's not supposed to be. He's at a time when he's not supposed to be there, talking to someone he's not supposed to talk to, going by the standards of his day. As John tells us in one of his editorial notes, Jews and Samaritans don't fellowship with each other. Jesus should not have been talking to a woman in public, much less a Samaritan woman of a different background than he. And he does all of this at noon, at the hottest part of the day. He and this woman meet at the well. And we can't help but wonder, why does John tell us this detail? Why is it so important that Jesus got there at noon and the woman got there at noon? Well, most likely, The woman was there because she did not want to see anybody. She did not want to talk to anybody. Most people went to the well and got their water before it got very hot out. But for some reason, she went at this hour, and we can guess that she didn't want to see many people. She wanted to be alone. Well, have you ever had one of those days or one of those times where you just wanted to be alone, where you just wanted to get away from everybody at work, you just wanted to get away from your family, you just wanted to step away from everything and everybody and have some downtime? Well, that's very likely where she was, and she gets there, and here comes a man asking her to give him a drink. Not just any man, though, someone that she felt like by society standards, they should not even be talking to each other. But friends, this is important because at this time of the day, Jesus was desperate for a drink of water. Jesus was thirsty. Jesus was hungry. And he came and he sat down, and he was not only thirsty physically for a drink of water, but he was also thirsty for communion with God's people. He was thirsty for relationship. God was thirsty for relationship with us. That he would go at the hottest part of the day to a place where people said he wasn't supposed to be. And that's what Jesus did in coming to us, not just in his suffering, death, and resurrection, but in his life. Jesus meets us in our deserts, and he's there not just to not just to provide us with what we need, but for us to be in conversation with him, to be in relationship with him. When he gets there, the Samaritan woman comes to draw water. He asks for a drink, and they argue a little bit. And then he says to her in verse 10, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water?" Jesus comes to her and says, "I have got the water that will never run out. Everything that you need is right here." And that's what worship, what happens when we worship, friends. When we worship together, when we spend time with God, when we spend time doing God's work and being God's people, we are accessing this living water that is like a wellspring that builds up within us that never runs dry. And yet sometimes it's so hard for us. It's so difficult for us to stop and to ask God for the help that we need. And sometimes God brings us the water that we need and we don't recognize it. 5 years ago, when I adopted my dog Isaac, who is one of my favorite theologians, as many of you know, some parishioners of mine at the time offered me some items that would help me with Isaac. Some gently used dog items. There was a food bowl and some toys and a little bed. And there was also, my favorite part, a water bowl with a cooler attached to it. I don't know if y'all have ever seen these before, but it's just a plain plastic water bowl and then this plastic container that you can fill with water and then turn it upside down, just like a cooler that we drink water out of. And the great thing about it was when the water bowl would run dry, the water from the cooler would just automatically come in. And I said, "This is perfect for Isaac because I can just fill this up with water, and when his bowl is empty, it refills automatically." So I had everything set up for him, and he got thirsty one day, and I showed him where his water bowl was, and he went over and he took one sip, and then the unexpected happened. When the water came from the cooler into the bowl, it made this gurgling sound, and I have never seen a dog jump so high in the air. He was startled, he was scared, and he refused to drink water after that. Well, as you can imagine, the dog had to drink water. I had to do something to quench his thirst. And the only thing, and you can't explain to a dog, and now I tried, believe me, I tried everything. And tried to explain to him, "No, this is the cooler. It's just there, and it's just gonna give you your water. There's nothing to be afraid of." But that didn't matter. He was already scared of something that was there to give him what he needed. And the only way I was able to get him to drink water after that was to get rid of my beloved cooler and just refill a regular plastic bowl that I got for $1 when it would run out. But so often, friends, we can be that easily scared. And so easily we can be scared of what is there to give us an endless supply. Sometimes God speaks to us in ways that we don't really understand. Sometimes God is silent. We feel like God is silent when we want God to speak to us. And yet when we continue to worship God, we continue to show up, We continue to ask for that living water. He will give us what we need, but sometimes we are just so scared that we don't see it right in front of us. Thankfully, the woman at the well was not scared. She may have been a little unsure about this guy that was sitting at the well when she got there, but if you notice, this conversation goes on for a long time. In fact, this is the longest conversation that Jesus has with anybody in the Gospels. Why this woman? Why this time? Why does it matter to us? Well, Jesus looks at her after a long discussion where she is not afraid to ask questions. He looks at her and he says to her in verse 21, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews." And verse 23, "The hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeks such as these to worship him." The Father seeks such as these to worship him. The woman comes to the well for us to gather water, and Jesus asks her for a drink, and then he offers her something more. And she is not afraid to debate with him. She's not afraid to ask him questions, but she's also not afraid to believe something that seems unbelievable. The woman at the well comes to believe in Jesus. At the very end of the passage, we hear him say, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you, the Messiah, the promised one." And she believes something that she had been told for so many years not to believe. And she takes that risk and she goes back to the village and she tells of a man who told her everything that she had done. Friends, this woman inspires us to worship without fear, to serve God without fear, because the everlasting water, the living water that Jesus offers, is not something that we produce, but it is something that God produces through us as the body of Christ. When we worship God, when we serve God, the water is available, the life is there, and we take it into our families and into our communities and into our world. Worship is not just what happens in the set apart place of the sanctuary. Worship is what happens because we are set apart as holy to go forth into all the areas that we are in life, wherever we are, and take the good news that Christ has come. And just as Jesus said to her, the Father seeks such as these to worship him. We are called to be the seekers like the woman at the well, a seeker like Nicodemus who dares to ask questions, seekers who want to know more and desire more than just the water that is provided. And one of the ways in which we do that is indeed to come and worship in this beautiful sanctuary, but we also are called to worship wherever we are as God places us and see that and at the wells of life. Jesus meets this woman out in public, out in the open. Worship takes place out in the open as well. And all of our it can take place in all of our conversations, all of our dialogues, when we realize that Christ is in the face of the person sitting across from us. It may be someone with whom we disagree. It may be someone with whom we have something that needs to be reconciled. But we are called to see the face of Christ at every well that we find ourselves in life. And it's important for us to remember that not only does Jesus come to the well thirsty, but Jesus comes to the well hungry as well. John gave us a little note that said the disciples had gone to buy food, so Jesus is famished. Jesus is empty. He is hungry. He is thirsty. And he meets somebody who engages in conversation with him. And not only does he quench her thirst, but in that conversation, the Son of God's thirst is quenched as well. He finds fellowship for which he longs, with the body of Christ and with us. This week, we have a very special opportunity as this part of the body of Christ to begin participating in a monthly ministry of taking meals to those who are in need, to taking meals to the hungry. And I would encourage you, as we think about this ministry that we are joining in with in our community and other ministries that are to come, that there is a deep need in our world to feed the hungry. And there will probably be a greater need in years to come to do what Jesus commands of, if someone is hungry, giving them what they need, not just spiritually, but also physically. And as we seek to feed the hungry together, to feed one another and to feed God's, all of God's people, let us consider this. Perhaps the person we feed is Jesus Christ. Do we see the face of Christ in one another as we feed each other? Do we see the face of Christ in the one who asks us for a drink? Do we see the face of Christ in the one who is as desperate as we are? Because, friends, we are all desperate for the living water, and we are all the same in God's eyes, because God has called us, God has loved us, and God will equip us for whatever we encounter in life's journey. But we must be willing to see with the eyes of the woman at the well that there is more than just a man or a woman sitting at the table with us, but we are in the presence of Christ when we are in the presence of each other. He who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, blessed three in one, now and forever. Amen.